Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
So, good evening to you and welcome to Charlton Live. It's a big match preview here on Maritime Radio. My name is Louis Mendez, and joining me in the studio so far, Tom Walling. How are you doing, Tom?
So far, yeah, I'm here. I'm good, thank you.
Right, yeah?
Yeah, not bad.
Yeah, no sign of Nath.
Not yet.
We're not 100% sure where he is. We're expecting him, but he probably stuck at work or... stuck on a tube or in the pub.
Yeah, most likely.
Yeah, most likely in the pub. Right, so on tonight's show, we're going to look back at Tuesday's FA Cup second round exit at the hands of Milton Keynes Dons. The first time we've been knocked out of the FA Cup in the second round since 1974, which is a weird stat. I mean, it sort of sounds like, oh, we've fallen into new depths, but the reality is we've only actually played in the second round three or four times in that time. We did normally get through to the... to the third round. Unfortunately, we got knocked out in the first round in 2008, I think it was, by Norwich, as everyone remembers.
But yeah,
normally if we got over that hurdle of the first round, normally we'd make it, make it to the third round. But it didn't happen. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to hear from Carl Robinson after that game. We're also going to hear from him looking forward to Saturday's game with Peterborough, which of course we're going to preview. We're also going to talk about a wonderful gesture made by skipper Johnny Jackson, who just proved once again how much of a legend he is during the week. We're going to talk about the Kent Senior Cup game, the Addicts progressing through to the semi-finals after beating Margate yesterday, Steve Brown's Margate. Like I said, we're going to look ahead to the Peterborough game. Our Charlton connection with the posh this week, Phil Chappell. Phil Chappell went on to play for Peterborough after leaving the Valley. He was also a scout here, as many people remember, up until the last few years when he got overtaken by big old Tommy Dryson. So we'll talk about Phil Chappell as well. So if you've got any memories of Phil Chappell, get him in studio at charltonlive.co.uk. You can tweet us at Charlton Live. Let us know what you remember about Phil Chappell, because I don't remember a great deal about him, if I'm being honest. So I'm going to need your help on that one. But right, Tuesday night, FA Cup game. We'll hear the highlights in a few moments' time, Tom. But, you know, we went out. It was a much-changed team. What did we learn from that game, I guess, is the question.
I think we learned that we've got a lot of youth players who've got some promise. I don't know whether that's necessarily a learn or whether that's, you know, to be expected with the players that we've had come through in the last few years. I think we actually played okay, and it was down to really the clinical finishing that cost us. You know, one mistake for the first goal, and then two quick goals in extra time, sandwiched in between them was a chance, I think, or was, might have even been before the second goal of MK Dons, where we could have scored as well and didn't take our chance, and we...
Yeah. I mean, we had big chances at the end of 90 minutes as well.
Yeah.
But look, let's listen to the highlights first. Bit of a Charlton Life triumph, the highlights, because it was the big match preview duo of Tom Walling and the invisible Nathan Muller who were doing the highlights. Let's have a listen back to how Tom and Nath got on CFC Player HD on Tuesday evening.
Saved by Phillips, who bowls it out to Shera. And now Chixon back to Konza. And Konza plays it to Joao Rebo, who's come very deep, just on the edge of the penalty area. And he comes right to Teixeira, who goes forward to Lookman. Lookman back to Aribo. Aribo's lost the ball there to Potter. And Potter's played through, and MK Dons are ahead. And it's Daniel Powell, and it's come from Joao Aribo's mistake. Charlton were passing it around nicely around the back. Lookman played it back to Aribo, who was still on the edge of the area. He tried to play it forward. It was intercepted by Potter, who slid it in, and Daniel Powell broke into the Charlton penalty area, one-on-one with Phillips, and there was nothing Phillips could do, and MK Dons are 1-0 up.
Yeah, it's disappointing. You can see Joe's gutted with himself there, but, you know, he needs to keep his chin up there. You know, he's made a mistake. He's got to make this game himself now and learn from that mistake. You know, he's still young and he's going to make mistakes, but it's how he bounces back now, and obviously we can try and get in the game. So we started well. You know, we need to keep his chin up, just like Cole was saying. Keep your head up.
Tarka over the halfway line, far side. He's got two players on him, and he's got Potter for company as well, but chooses to go out to Adam Chixon. Chixon on the left-hand side, up against Baldock. Can't quite beat him, so cuts back inside. Oh, fine, it's a goal. It's a great goal. I don't know if he meant it or not, but Adam Chickson, he tried to get down the left-hand side. He couldn't get down to cross it in, so cut in onto his unfavoured right foot. A sort of scuff shot, really, and it's crept in the far post, and Lee Nichols will be disappointed there as Chickson has brought the addicts back level.
Yeah, it reminded me of the goal he scored against Bristol Rovers when he's cut inside, and I don't think a lot of people was expecting him to shoot again, and he's literally just got his foot around and it's been right round, and like you said, I think took the goalie by surprise, as well as all of us it seems, but it's obviously Charlton back on level terms.
He plays it inside, and that swung forward looking for Williams, but it's cut out by Charlton, and they're able to come forward through Aribo, who goes out to Morgan Fox. Lookman calling for it and gets it, and he's found some space and breaks into the area and fires it left footed. It's a good save by Nichols, but it's still bobbling around the area and eventually cleared by Milton Keynes. Gives it to Adamola Lookman, who turns Potter well. Referee chooses to play advantage because he was clipped. Gives it into Nicky Ajose, and the edge of the area is cut back inside his player. Slogs it forward. Save from Lee Nichols, the back foot. That's Charlton's best chance of this half.
Unlucky.
It broke forward through to Nicky Ajose. He checked back inside on his right foot, and his defender, Jack Hendry, was gone. He clipped it in. He tried to steer it into the far post, but I think it just clipped Nichols, the goalkeeper's trailing leg. It bounced back out to Bataka, but his shot was nowhere near good enough. But as I say, best chance for Charlton, and it's come right at the end as the fourth official announces 4 minutes of added time.
Yeah, great little cutback. Ajose used his left foot to cut back inside on his favoured foot to try and slot it past, but another great save by the goalie.
And that is the final whistle, and we are going to have extra time. And Bodic is able to get on it and knocks it inside to Colclough, who's in the centre circle. He tries to spread it back over onto that far side to Agard, who manages to control it. He's got Johnson in front of him, but he attacks the Charlton penalty area and gets away from Agard and finds Reeve on the edge of the area, much more central, fires in a shot, and it's an absolutely incredible goal from Reeve, the substitute, Ben Reeves, who's come on and been impressive, to be honest, since he came on. He got the ball. It was good work originally from Agard to get away from Roger Johnson. He knocked it back inside to Ben Reeves, who was on the edge of the penalty area. He spun the central defender, which must have been to Scherer, and fired a left-footed shot first time into the Dylan Phillips' right-hand post, and MK Dons have restored their one-goal lead.
Yeah, with Roger Johnson jockeying him down. Let's just looking it back on the screen now, jockeying him. Great finish. Great strike by Ben Reeves. Great strike from him, but disappointing from Charlton. Did usher him out of play. Was waiting for Fox to come and tuck back in, but great, you can't fault the shot. Unstoppable.
So it's going to be Adamola Lookman to drift this in again, right footed. We saw a free kick right at the end of normal time. It was good, and he gets it in, and it's bounced around. It was an incredible ball in again from Lookman. I think Nichols came out and punched it, but punched it against one of his own players. In the meantime, to Scherer and Chickson have broken forward. It came off Scherer and was about to bounce wide, and Ajose outstretched, tried to nod it inside the post and couldn't quite do it, and it remains 2-1. And in the meantime, Bodic has now broken through, and that's game over, surely. Yeah. A very fast counter-attack right up the other end from Milton Keynes Dons. It was slotted through to Bodic, who got between the centre-backs Roger Johnson and George De Scherer, and again one-on-one with Dylan Phillips, and makes no mistake, and arguably that one of their deadliest strikers, Dean Bodic, has now put Milton Keynes on 3-1 up, and surely put this game out of sight for Charlton.
Yeah, I mean, it was the Charlton fans filtering out now, but we had to take the risk, we had to take the gamble, and otherwise there was no point contesting it if you're not going to try and gamble. Which that chance, a whole different story if that went in, but counter attack, Dean Bodic in absolute acres, and he slotted it home like he can, and game over.
When you look at it like that, maybe it hasn't been so bad, but the truth is that we're going to lose, and there's the final whistle, and Milton Keynes Dons have won this game 3-1.
So we have the highlights of Tuesday's FA Cup second round replay extra time defeat to Milton Keynes Dons, brought to you by Tom and Nathan. Good commentary, but a bad result.
That's the same for any time I commentate, isn't it? Well, I don't know about the good commentary, but certainly the bad result. But yeah, they want to stop asking me.
We try and look at the performance. I mean, changes were made. We knew about this illness we had. We knew that Carl had said on the Saturday that he wanted to give Joe Aribo some minutes. We saw it was Hanlon starting as well.
Yeah, Hanlon
starting as well. So we saw a couple of youngsters starting. We saw a bit of experience in there as well to share a starting. So it was a change side. I mean, I think if you try and look at the 90 minutes, I didn't think we looked that bad. I thought we had some good chances. We could have put it to bed in that 90 minutes. You know, on a when it gets to the extra time, that's when we were hit by those two sucker punches. But it's not a performance where people are going to go around and go, oh dear, look at that.
We've not at all. Not at all. I think when you look on the balance of play, I think, I don't know whether we were necessarily the better team over the full 90 minutes, but we certainly had our chances and we definitely matched them. I can't think of too much Phillips had to do. There was that one shot, I think, in the second half that he sort of palmed over for a corner. But apart from that, it was mainly crosses, but they were being dealt with well enough by our defenders. It was just, like I say, it was just those clinical finishes at the end, really. There was one all was a fair result over the 90 minutes, and in that extra time, you know, we could have sneaked it just as well as they did. So 3-1 looks like a harsh scoreline, but I think when you factor in the fact that there's those youngsters in there, we had to deal with the Novak injury early in the first half. We had obviously Pierce and Bauer both missing, you know, a few changes. That first goal, as I say, comes from a poor mistake from Aribo. And when you look at it that way, it's not as bad as the scoreline suggests.
Yeah, I felt we had started in that first 5 minutes on the front foot. I mean, we had a shot from Lookman after 13 seconds. He played it just wide. And then we see, you know, we're looking quite comfortable. And then because we're enjoying a bit of possession down the back, that's when Joe Aribo is making his full debut in a proper competition. I think he's got some minutes in the Checker trade, I think.
Yeah, he did against Crawley.
Yeah, but so then he makes that mistake, and you know we're dilly dallying around the back. He tries to play it out, gets dispossessed by was it Powell who played it into Potter? Or was
it was Potter. Other, yeah, Potter to Powell.
Who played it into Powell, and then we go 1-0 down, and then obviously, I mean, that's a mistake. There's no getting around that. But then it's how you react to it. And Carl says it himself in his interview, which we'll hear a bit later on in the show. But I thought Aribo reacted really well to it, and that is the mark of a confident young man.
Definitely, and I won't go as far as Carl did in his kind of praise for the incident, but I agree, and we said it in commentary. We said, right, that's happened now. There's nothing he can do about it. Let's see how he bounces back. And, you know, he was still doing nice little turns. He was taking the ball. He was making every opportunity to get himself in space. You know, I think it's easier, particularly in central midfield, to just kind of shuffle up to one of the opposition players and act like there's no space for you and therefore you can't get the ball. But he didn't do that. You know, he fronted up. Carl immediately, when the goal went in, stood at the touchline and sort of tapped his hand under his chin and said, you know, chin up, keep going, don't worry about it. And I thought Aribo, aside from that, played pretty well for someone so young.
He nearly scored himself, really. We had that sort of Cruyff turn in midway through the Milton Keynes half and then went for a chip towards the far post and just sort of went over. And so, you know, that is confidence. And that is, you know, like you say, the way you react to it is almost as important. And that's why, again, Carl says it, but I was really annoyed that Carl said it in his first answer. Yeah. That was going to be my really good question. But the way you react to a mistake, it's important to get, you know, every player is going to make a mistake, and it's important. I mean, we saw it last couple of years. You think of players who had made mistakes and then taken ages to recover, like Nicky Pope in goal.
Yeah.
Great example. It took him ages to recover. When he did, turned into a great goalkeeper. The way that Aribo tried to recover straight away, and that can only bode well, really.
Definitely, and I think you look at someone like Konsa as well. People are talking about him as having the potential to be even better than Joe Gomez, and I think, I don't know whether any of his mistakes that I can remember off the top of my head led immediately to goals, but he was certainly, early on when he was getting games, he was a little bit dodgy at the back and giving the ball away on the edge of the area and stuff, and he's come on and leaps and bounds and recovered from those mistakes, and Aribo did the same. And yeah, I think maybe, I don't know, having Johnny Jackson or Novak or those players with experience around him helped, because they were quick to go over to him and help him. But, you know, ultimately he did that by himself, and he took it upon himself to get the ball again. And like you say, that little Cruyff turn and the chip and those sort of moves that he was doing showed that he hadn't lost his confidence, and that's important.
Now, I felt the wind was knocked out of our sails a bit after that first goal. So we had started pretty brightly. As soon as that goal went, I think MK started to look a lot more comfortable, and it took us a while to start getting some chances. When they finally came with the Chicksonator over on that left-hand side, cuts onto his right foot again, just like his goal at Bristol Rovers. This time, I think it was a shot, I mean, but it completely caught everyone off guard, really, didn't it? And including the goalkeeper, it seemed, it just crept in at that far post. And
yeah.
What did you make of Adam Chickson's performance? A lot of people saying he should be, and I think rightly, maybe even pushing Morgan now, because we know Morgan's had a difficult time of it at times.
He was, for me, our best player on Tuesday night. Might not say much from a 3-1 defeat, but I thought he played really well. Like Morgan Fox, I know he was sort of deployed in a more attacking left side anyway, but I haven't seen him in games where he's played as a more defensive player, so I'd want to see that side of him. But certainly where he played out on the wing on Tuesday, I thought he was really exciting. He looked lively. He was constantly in space, and the times where he didn't create, it wasn't his fault. It was the fact that people weren't passing to him because he had loads of space out on that side when the fullbacks, can't remember, Baldock and somebody were pushing up. But yeah, I thought he played really well. And the goal, it caught me by surprise as well. I've seen the highlights back and it definitely does look like a shot. But at the time, I just wasn't really sure what had happened. It was a great cut in, and to choose to hit it on the weaker foot and beat the keeper like that, he'll obviously be pleased. And like you say, it gives him a bit of momentum now and to push Morgan Fox.
I think we saw Colclough had a decent effort on the chip, sort of on the turn, but that was really it for the first half. Second half, we had two or three big chances. Ademola Lookman played in down the wing. I mean, we had two one-on-ones that we missed. Lookman sort of midway through the half played in straight at the keeper. And then right, just as the clock ticked over 90, we saw... it was Ajoze was played through by Lookman, cutting onto his right foot, played it again straight at the goalkeeper. Well, the keeper made a decent save there, but I mean, there were two huge chances to win it. I think in terms of clear cut chances, I felt we were very, very comfortable defensively in the second half, but going forward we had those two or three chances where we couldn't nick it.
Definitely, and that's what I said earlier as well. I think when you look back in terms of clear cut chances over the 90 minutes, I think we had more than they did. I don't really remember Phillips having too much to do, but those two in particular were our best chances. I thought that one with Ajoze, I'm surprised he didn't score. I don't put it down to lack of composure or anything like that. It was a good save, but just one of those things. And we get that, and it's a different game. We're into the third round. And as it was, you know, as I say, we lost by two goals. And the scoreline's harsh, especially on those young players, because we didn't deserve that, really. But at the same time, if you don't take your chances, then you leave yourself exposed or the risk of conceding. And that's obviously what then happened.
Now, with Ajoze, I mean, that's something that I guess people talk about. He's gone through spells, really. He scored those two goals at Walsall, then didn't score for a while. Then he's got a few in the last few weeks, isn't he? Got one at Bristol Rovers, he's got one at home to Port Vale.
Port Vale, yeah.
With strikers, you need to be on a little run. So really, you don't want to miss too many chances like that just to lose your run that you're on. And would you reckon, lack of confidence at the moment? Is it just about a good save that time and he'll be back in the next game? It's only two or three games since he scored, so he's not exactly on a bit of a drought, is he? It's only two or three.
I don't know him, obviously, but he doesn't strike me as someone who particularly lacks confidence.
No, not at all. Speaking to him, very confident.
Right, okay, yeah, so that doesn't surprise me. I think one of the difficulties he has is, you know, the change in formations, the change in manager. I think he's a striker that thrives off being off the edge of that last man and poaching goals in around the area, and I don't think at the moment we're really playing that style. I think obviously McGuinness has come in and had such a huge impact that he's the first name on the sort of attacking side of the team sheet, and I don't know whether Carl will, but certainly Russell was tending to build his play around him, and then Ajoze kind of has to fit into that. I think if Ajoze had started the season, score 5 in 6 or something like that, you'd be saying, right, we'd build the team around Ajoze. But at the moment, he seems a bit more like a sort of supplement striker, if you like. So I think it's just about trying to find out exactly where he fits in, and as you say, then giving him some minutes, because when he's had a few games in a row recently, he's actually been all right and got some goals. And as I say, I put Tuesday night just down to a good save, and that's all. So,
10 minutes from the end, tweeted out one of us. We'd already made two subs before that. Fox had come on for the injured Novak sort of towards the end of the first half. I think he's gone for a scan today. Ajoze came off for Hanlon 73 minutes. Now 80 minutes. The skipper, Johnny Jackson, went off, and Roger Johnson came on. Now, as soon as I tweeted out that sub had been made, I noticed the club's replies as well. Just everyone booing me in my Twitter account. And then, for me, he won a header from a corner, powered it away.
Blocked
another cross that came in, powered that away. Nathan's just texted us saying he's going to be late, just in a meeting. It's pointless coming now, Nathan. But I was listening back to your commentary, and did you think he was he at fault for a goal or something, or did you thought he was a bit rusty when he came on?
Rusty's the right word, yeah. I think I was quite critical of him in the commentary. But, yeah, I think maybe rusty would be slight, if we're going to be fair to him, and obviously some people don't want to be. I think rusty's the right word. I felt with the Reeves goal, and I'm not going to take anything away from Reeves himself because that was a cracking finish, but I think it was maybe Anike, I can't remember exactly, who had it down the right-hand side, and he just kept dropping back and he didn't stand his ground, and that allowed him to just run in and allowed Reeves to catch up with play, and that disappointed me. But as you say, there are a couple, two or three corners that he cleared well, and look, we saw when he first came in last time what a presence he can be, and I think it's one of those things where the actions, if they really happened at Bury, have just Was it Berry that it happened?
Yeah, it was Berry, yeah. And it did happen. I remember speaking to Russell about it after, right. So he confirmed it happened.
Okay, and I think that's just one of those things, particularly in the environment, the club and the fans and the relationship between them at the moment. That's something that fans just aren't going to forget. Yeah. I think he played okay, but it's difficult to kind of stick up for him after that. But yeah, rusty is the word I would have used on Tuesday.
Okay, and like I said, we saw that Ben Reeves goal. I remember Ben Reeves being excellent in the first leg here at the Valley. He came on as a sub at half time, and well, just after half time, sorry. And then, hit that goal he scored 3 minutes into the extra time. Was standing off, if we were, which I mean, he sort of turned right on the edge of the box and maybe standing off a bit, but it was a cracking strike into the top corner. That there was no way that Dylan was going to get anywhere near that one. But then we had that huge chance, free kick played into the middle. The keeper comes out, punches it against Teixeira.
I wasn't sure.
And then it looks like a Jose is going to be able to tap it home, but just can't quite stretch. And then 45 seconds later, it's the third.
Yeah, it's one of those. I've watched it back a couple of times, actually. It reminds me of that Gazza one from Euro 96, where is it Shearer throws himself in? Or is it Gazza that's on the edge of the...
Yeah, Gazza's thrown himself in.
And just can't reach it. And it was like that with a Jose, you know. He just needed that little bit longer legs to be able to poke it in, but couldn't quite do it. And as you say, I think in the commentary, Nathan and I were still talking about that when they went straight up the other end and scored. And as you say, that just killed it. And I come back to what I said, you know, at the start of the show. It was down to clinical finishing. You know, they went straight up the other end. It was a great through ball from Upson. And Bodic, he's not going to miss from within inside the 15-yard box, is he? And slotted it home. And you say about Phillips for the second one, I don't think there's a lot he could have done for any of the goals, really. Yeah. And Robinson's been full of praise over him over the last few weeks. And I don't think you can take anything away from him, really, in that game. It was just one of those days.
So there we go, out of the cup in the FA Cup second round for the first time since 1974. We heard the highlights earlier, and Marion said it's good to hear this round up, as she could only get their guys, which would have been the BBC Three Counties guys, who we managed to annoy on more than one occasion, because we were setting up. I was helping Tom and Nate set up their the box for CFC player, and I was talking quite loudly, just trying to explain to Tom, this goes in here. You press this button, and didn't realise that the Three Counties radio were already broadcasting right behind us. So I was being loud, and we were all being loud, and he had to go at us. And then I sort of felt really bad about it, and then completely forgot about it by full time. And I come up to Tom and said, "This is how you take it away," and he was still there. And I was like, "Oh God, sorry."
Yeah, so, I don't think he liked us, did he?
Yeah, so we annoyed them. But Marion also says she likes the Santa hat on the Charlton Live logo, which you can see on our Twitter page. I'll put it up on the Facebook at some point as well. London Innit Geezer says, "I know fans are getting very excited about Carl Robinson's CFC revolution, but temper the praise a bit. 3 games, only one goal scored." And what do you mean? I mean, we've seen a difference in performance. I say the first half against MK at home, we were pretty poor, to be honest. Second half, we had a few chances. Up at Bradford, I thought we were excellent. I mean, both going forward and defensively. And the MK with a much changed side, you know, we've drawn two. We've drawn 3 games under him, going on to losing extra time in one of them. You know, no one's jumping the horse yet, but we're saying there's been a positive influence since he's come in. I guess the real questions will be asked once January's over. And I mean, obviously, we've got to win some games before then anyway, but you know, hopefully no one's getting carried away, but also it's way too early to be going on. We've only scored one goal.
Definitely. I think some managers, obviously, you look at someone like Harry Redknapp or Tim Sherwood, they come in and they're going to give an immediate lift. But with someone like Carl Robinson, he talks a lot about his kind of philosophy and his style and being here for the long term. And he's one of those managers where the one thing I think he needs is a bit of time. And you would think he's not going to get it here, but if he can, I think it will be okay. And if he hadn't spent about 25 minutes answering the first two questions on Tuesday night, what I would have asked was more about his style and how close we're getting to that, because he talked a lot about that at the start. And it is going to take time. Two of his 3 games have come against MK Dons, so they're, you know, almost slightly different games when you think he's been there for 6 years. The other game was against a team that were unbeaten at home, and from people who went up there suggest we could have won that game. So it is very early days. He's got changes he wants to make. He's made it clear that he wants to do some business in January. So I don't think we can really start judging him till February. But I said about Russell, you couldn't start judging him till November, and he was gone before we had chance to. So it's all about how the club treat him. If they do give him time and just say, look, just go and do your business and let's see, I think he'll be a good enough manager for us.
Well, we live in hope that the club will treat him well, but perhaps not expectation. Right, let's listen now to Carl Robinson. He came out to speak to Jamie Hill and myself, Jamie Hill from BBC Radio London and myself, on Tuesday evening after the cup defeat. And this is what he had to make of the second round cup defeat at MK Dons.
Carl, in the end, it ended up a 3-1 defeat, but you must have you should have won that game in normal time.
We were outstanding. For 90 minutes, we were by far the best team. In extra time, our kids become the partner of the Red Sea. But that age, there's Premier League teams here today. And our biggest thing now, Molo has just been probably at the pinnacle of his performances today. At the pinnacle. Dreading tomorrow morning coming. I tell you, Eze Konsa is going to play at the highest level. And Joe, I was so happy with his mistake. Mm-hmm. I turned to my staff and I said, this kid now crumbles and we know his mentality, or he steps forward and we take this kid to the top. Right? And people look at the results and say, well, how great were they staying for us? Right? But 3-1, we were the better team. We had a 1-on-1 with Addy. We had a 1-on-1 in the 91st minute. When we went back to 2-1, we missed probably a sitter again, and then they went down and down and scored. If I'm talking development and this club being promoted, I've seen why we can do it tonight. So, I'm disappointed, but you said it, not me. We looked for 90 minutes, a very aggressive, expansive, solid team. And I'm so, so proud of them. For the young players today, that'll live with them forever. And we have to make it our priority to get these kids. What was it? I mean, look at the team. Foxy, Dylan, Ez, I forget who played in some ways, Addy, Joe, mm-hmm. Brandon. So six or seven homegrown players against a team who are tipped to now go on and do things in this league, against their strongest team.
Well, you'd said before the game, Carl, this was a real test for them to see what you might do in January. Is it fair to say that you're going to be spending a bit less money in January now?
Don't be saying that. Don't be saying that. I hope no one's listening up in the boardroom. No, because we still want to spend and we want to go up. So that's our objective. We're still in transition. I think you're seeing that. We've played better today than what we did and got a draw at the Valley of the Week. So if anyone was there, we were by far better today than we were. And we should have won. And their keeper, I said to Anthony Nichols then, I signed him and he sort of cost me a little bit because he made two great saves in the one-on-ones.
What was really noticeable in the first half, you were always encouraging the players, you were really making sure that they knew that you had their full support, but in the second half, you were kicking every ball in the technical area.
I love it. I love this job. I really do. And I love being part of this club. And if I didn't love what I did at this club, I now love this club even more because what I've just seen. I've just seen young South East London boys roll their sleeves up, make mistakes and step up and be counted. That's what it takes to play for Charlton. Yeah, we take the rough with the smooth, but we stand up and be counted. And I'm proud of them. I really am. We've got beat, so I'm gutted because we've lost. But we lost, and I know why we lost. Disjointed. The young players just sort of ran out of gas. But don't forget all the players we've had missing today. Josh will come back in. Crofty will be back. Deck will be back fit next week. Freddie will be back. We had Addy back today. So it's this is really over 90 minutes we were excellent. They only got their goal for a mistake. I don't think Dylan made another save.
No. And the one worry, I guess, is Lee's injury in the first half.
Yeah, again, I've had three games now and I've lost a player within 15 minutes. So it's our treatment room's like Euston Station. So it's very, very busy in there every morning. But we had to cope with it, and we put Foxy on because he's been ill, so it was good for him to get some minutes. I thought Adam Chickson today, as a left winger, looked outstanding.
Scored against his former club.
Yeah, a fantastic. I don't know where it come from, his right foot, because I never coached him that. But he's really making a state. I like that three behind the striker. I've played it a lot, and I like it, and I think you've all seen today that's how we want to play. If I had a criticism, when we got in the final third, we came back too much, rather than asking questions beyond the line. So, if I'm being critical of us in the 90 minutes, was the one error, which I'm happy about because he's learned from, and then the next facet to it was we got in there, how we came back out, and they're little things that I'm looking forward to working on.
Just the final one from me, Carl. As you've said already, some of these players have massive futures, are now at Charlton. How do you make sure that you get them regular first-team football?
Play them.
And they'll be playing more often now, presumably.
Well, I can trust them, can't I? I can trust him today. Listen, Joe's very young. It's his first ever start. So he's not played this intensity before. But he's played against Dan and Potter. He's played for Liverpool first team. Played for Southampton. Played for Wolverhampton. Played for Sheffield Wednesday. So he's come up against one of the most experienced midfield players in the league. Second, and then he had the likes of Dean Bowley playing as a 10 and Ben Reeves came. So he's playing against some of the best players in this league in some ways who have had a promotion out of this league. So I'm sick because my stomach's like... But my head and my heart is like bubbling because I want to start coaching. I want to get them back out and coach, and I want to make them fitter and better and stronger and faster. And the fans stick with these kids because these kids could be a real driving force. Listen, we can't play them every week. We can't play them on Saturday, especially after this. I think some of them need new legs. But we have to be in this. We're in a transition. But whilst we're in this transition, we've got to be aggressive with it because we can't go through a transition and lose a lot of games. I want to be in a transition and win. And again, we've come away. We had the best chance on Saturday, by far, at Bradford. And today, we should have been game over. And
hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself
and for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
In the second, the extra time, I'm disappointed with our fatigue levels and our lack of game understanding, but that'll come.
Hard guy tonight, Carl.
Thank you so much, thank you.
Carl, we talked about the younger players already. An older player who hasn't featured too much at the start of the season, George Teixeira, has come in a bit now with the injury to Jason. Does it look like he's going to get a run in the team now?
Well, yeah, I thought he was excellent. I thought another one as well. Johnny Jackson was brilliant in there today. That little six position, a pivot and getting us playing, I thought he really marshalled them young players. Maybe when he come off, but then when Ez went into there, he was like a Rolls Royce. And I tell you, I've seen something today that I'm really, really impressed with. Tex needs to come through this little fatigue, go for a fatigue dip. But again, he's been magnificent. That's why he comes to a big club, because you've got players who get injured, you can bring them in. I don't know how many more injuries they can take, but...
Yeah. Did you get an update on Jason today? He sent out a tweet and said it didn't look like good news. Have you heard what the full update is yet?
I do know it, yeah. I don't know what I'm going to say, can I? I don't expect him to see him back for a long time. It was it wasn't good news, but I think we'll make an official statement. Sick and firm, spoke to him yesterday. It was gutted for the kid because he's a warrior. But our wishes go with him. Hopefully we could have done it for him tonight, but it wasn't to be.
Finally, as you say, young players getting their chance to play in this competition, sometimes they'll make mistakes, but it's how they bounce back from it that's important. It's all good experience.
It certainly is. I'm certainly proud of them all. Like I say, there's certain... I'm probably happier today than what I was when we drew against them at the Valley. And I think that just shows you how far we've come in a very short... in 2 weeks. I'm sure you can see a difference. So it's... onwards and upwards, roll our sleeves up. The most pleased man in the whole building today would have been Grant McCann, who sat behind me smirking when it went to extra time.
Big game on Saturday as well with the Fosh.
When you play at the Valley, it's always a big game.
It's in! Yeah! Yeah! Jackson!
Charlton live.
Hello?
From the home of
From
time.
The home of time.
This is Maritime Radio, Greenwich. Charlton live.
Welcome back to Charlton Live here on Maritime Radio. That's a new idea I'm going to use, Tom. You enjoy?
Thanks for that.
So there we heard Carl Robinson after the FA Cup defeat at MK Dons. Mentioned there the injury to Jason Pearce. The club have put out that statement that you mentioned today. It's looking like 3 months. It sounds like his groin, something in there, like a tendon has become detached from the bone. Now, I can't imagine what that actually looks like. Is it... like his thing's falling off.
It's not what you want, is
no,
it?
No, but it sounds bad, really. How much do you think we're going to miss him? I mean, if one thing you can say is that is a position we're quite blessed in terms of strength in depth. I know there was a story a couple of weeks ago that the club were probably going to look to offload Harry Lennon. The story's been going all summer that we're trying to offload to Sheriff. But now, do you think at least one of those decisions might be put on hold?
I would guess so. And I think Teixeira has found a bit of new life under Robinson as well. I think... Teixeira, Bauer and Konza, certainly those three are far capable enough of stepping into Pearce's shoes, but Pearce and Bauer has been such a decent combination that it's obviously gutting to lose him, and obviously we wish him the best recovery he can. Lennon as a fourth, you know, I think he's still young and he's just a bit temperamental, you know, he makes those lunges sometimes. Seen a couple of red cards already in his career, but yeah, I would be surprised if Teixeira goes in January, unless we obviously bring somebody else in.
We've still got Roger Johnson as well, which hasn't been mentioned. I mean, Carl's already said he was going to wipe the slate. Whatever slate needed wiping for Teixeira, he was going to do that. So you wonder if he will do that for Johnson. He gave him game time on Tuesday. So.
Yeah, and he's, as I said, he's an experienced player. And when he came in the first time, he did a very good job for us. So from a purely footballing point of view, you can see why managers might want to use him. It just depends, as I say, you know, with the reaction he gets at the crowd every time. I don't necessarily know if it affects him, but that's not something Robinson's going to want hanging over him either. But I think we've still got, as you say, we have been blessed, and we've still got a lot of adequate centre-backs there. It's just obviously still gutting to lose one of your best.
Yeah, I mean, I imagine that's a really difficult situation for Jason Pearce himself. I think I thought he's maybe a slightly shaky start. Remember, he gave away the penalty against Bury on the first day. I think I got a feeling a couple of times I felt he gave away the ball when he shouldn't have been early on in the season. But since then, I thought he's been excellent. I remember watching him, what game was it recently where it must have been the Sheffield United game, I think, where perhaps I remember looking at him just thinking he's winning everything, he's doing really well.
I think another thing at the start of the season is because Fox is so attacking as a left back, a few times I noticed that Pearce was covering that left back spot, and so the gap between him and whoever his centre back partner was getting quite big, and that's where a few goals were coming. I think over the last few games he's learned to cope or learn how Fox is playing, and therefore adapting to that and knowing that Fox can track back or whatever it is, but him and the centre back, and in this case Bauer, have obviously got a lot closer and as I say formed a really good partnership. So it is going to be tough, but as you say, the likes of Teixeira, Cons are obviously fantastic youngster, although whether he goes in January remains to be seen, and the likes of Johnson and Lennon are there if we need them as well. So we've got plenty of options.
Yeah, Jason told the official club website that as a back five we were feeling as strong as we have done all season, but in football these things can happen. I'll be staying as positive as I can throughout my rehabilitation to try and get back out on the pitch as quickly as possible, and in the meantime I'll be giving the lads all the support I can. So that's Jason Pearce, going to be out for looking like up to three months, maybe even over, with a groin injury, which is a huge disappointment. Now, right, another story that came to light yesterday. This was on Twitter. Everyone who follows me on Twitter, I also follow Kyle Andrews on Twitter. He's a friend of the show as well. We've done interviews with him a couple of times. He was the guy who came up. He tweeted us about Jan the Cat on Sunday, which started off, if anyone listened to Sunday's show, the whole Pet 11. Which
I've got it in front of me.
Yeah, turned out, is this on the desk?
Yeah, great handwriting. So I'm suspicious that this was Nafe writing it down.
Yeah, oh yeah, it's definitely not me. And so that was a good bit of fun, the Pet 11, and that was because Kyle got Jan the Cat. Now Kyle's one of the biggest Charlton fans I know. He goes to every game. Again, if you follow me on Twitter, you'll see me playing Where's Kyle at an away game, where I try and find him in the away end and then just take a photo of him and put it on Twitter, because you know it's fun. But he also suffers from, you know, some physical illnesses and some mental illnesses as well. So he's had a bit of a tough time of it, and recently wrote a blog post on his Chris Powell's Flat Cap blog about how the escapism that coming to Charlton is for all of us, and especially was for him as well. However, the last, you know, 6 months to a year or so hasn't quite been the same. The same escapism for him, and how he has struggled with bits and pieces. And it's you know, it's an important blog post. It's very important if you're in a situation where you want to talk, when you want to speak. You know, a blog's the perfect place to do it. And I've read it, and you know, it's very moving. Also, I know Kyle, so it was good to see him coming out and speaking like that. And obviously, he gets the support from the Charlton fans as well, which we hope can help to some extent, because you know he's a popular character on Twitter.com and amongst the Addicts fans. But also. Charlton fans weren't the only one to read it. The Charlton skipper read it as well, skipper Johnny Jackson. And now Kyle's come home yesterday and got a package, and he opens it up, and it's a Charlton shirt, the number 4 shirt from Jackson, this season's shirt. It's got Jackson number 4 on the back, so I'm assuming it's a match worn one.
I assume it's match worn, yeah.
It's got a Sky Bet League One logos on the arm as well. And then on the front, Jacko's written, "To Kyle, having read your blog about your ongoing struggles, I felt moved to send you something in the hope that it might help in some small way. Please know that your support is always appreciated, and without people like you, our club is nothing. Best wishes, Johnny Jackson." Now that, I mean, the measure of the man, Johnny Jackson, I mean, he's the leader of men. And when you're the captain of a club, I imagine at most clubs, you're just the captain of 11 blokes who run around kicking a football. At our club, you're the captain of everyone, and you're the leader. You're someone that everyone looks up to, and that gesture to a loyal supporter like Kyle is just says everything about Johnny Jackson, doesn't it? And says everything about this football club.
Yeah, there's so many areas of this story that interest me. I don't know Kyle myself, but I recognise him through Twitter, and I've seen him at games. I in the past have struggled with mental health issues as well, so reading his blog, I think it's amazing that he's, you know, prepared to come out and write that stuff down and tell everybody about it. But yeah, going back to the gesture from Jacko, I just, every now and again when we talk about him on here and there's a big moment, so back when he, you know, scored those 2 goals against Cardiff, or the winner against QPR, or those 2 free kicks against the Sheffield clubs, I just find myself running out of words that you can use to describe him and what he means to this football club, because words like legend, words like hero, they're banded around quite easily in football. And even when they're not, you know, I think we would describe Kermagant, for example, as a bit of a cult hero or a legend at this club. You know, for me, the likes of Kinsella when I was growing up were my first hero. But the relationship I've got as a fan with Johnny Jackson is something completely different. I can't really explain it, but you know, when I think about the possibility of him retiring in a few years, it scares me, or it worries me, and that's bizarre for someone that basically just puts on a shirt and goes and plays for your football team every week. And I think that shows just how important he is to our football club and how much he gets it. He understands the fans. I remember, I think it was Powell, or it might have been one of the Belgian lot, that when they came in, said that when new players sign, he kind of tells them about the history of the club and explains it to them and shows them why it's important. And as you say, captains don't need to do that, and I don't know how many captains do that in this day and age. Certainly, there's a lot of talk about Premier League clubs about how you can't get near your heroes now, but Jacko not only makes himself available, but seeks out stories like this and makes the effort to go the extra mile, and it's just fantastic, and as I say, just embodies what an amazing captain he is for this club.
Yeah, take your hat off to Johnny Jackson. It's a wonderful gesture, and Kyle, I know Kyle appreciated it a lot. I think as Charlton fans, we appreciate the way that Jacko deals with us, and the fight he shows when he puts on the shirt, and he's always shown. I mean, like, he'll try and drag you through any situation, whether you're struggling with your health or whether you're 2-0 down at home to Cardiff.
Like, that's how you feel. Yeah, you just feel comfortable when he's around. Like when he's on the pitch, he might not be as quick as he used to be. He might not have such an influence on the game, but still, there's something about when he's out there, I just feel more relaxed. And when he goes off, I'm like, oh no. Like, even if he's not offering anything in the game, it's very strange. But yeah, as you say, off the pitch as well, just a real gentleman. And I guess as well, from another point of view, we wish Kyle well with all those problems as well, and hope he gets better soon.
Excellent stuff. So that's a wonderful gesture by the skipper, Johnny Jackson. Right, last night, Wednesday evening, the Addicts made their way down to Margate, the under-23s, to take on the Margate in the quarterfinals of the Kent Senior Cup competition. We've won a couple of years ago, got to the final and lost against Dartford last year. Into the semi-finals again, because we've a late comeback against Margate. We won by 2-1. Steve Brown, assistant manager at, was he a coach or something at Margate now? I was speaking to him on on Tuesday because he was there covering our game for BBC Radio London. He was saying he's saying he's got a tough job on his hands there, but because Margate are down near the bottom of their division, but hopefully now under the with the advice of Steve Brown, they'll be able to get out. They've got some money problems as well, but
right.
Hopefully under the advice of Steve Brown, they'll be able to get out and stay up. But we're concentrating on the Addicts here. Goals, so we're 1-0 down after 38 minutes. Mikhail Kennedy equalised in the 82nd minute, and Carlin Ahern Grant scored the win in the 86th minute. So a late turnaround for the Addicts. A competition that we always think it must be such good experience for the youngsters because they're playing against men.
Mm. Yeah, I agree. I think it's one of those competitions, I suppose, if you're that sort of age, that you want to be able to have. And it's a competition historically we've always done very well in. Our youth academy speaks for itself. We've had a history of bringing players through. And as you say, the two goal scorers there, Kennedy and Ahern Grant, have both tasted first team action, if not this season, certainly over the past couple of years. So yeah, it's a fantastic sort of proving ground for them, as you say, to test themselves against men, and saves them having to go out on loan to a different club and learn new people. Instead, they can be with that team that they've played with through the youth system, but then come up against more experienced players. And yeah, fantastic result again, and we move on to the semi-finals.
Look at that, the score of that winning goal, Carlin Ahern Grant. Has he featured at all in the first team, maybe once or twice?
He came on for the Checker trade this year, I remember, but maybe one other game.
Considering how much he has played in the first team over the last couple of years, do you think he might be sitting down there and thinking, maybe slightly, so I still stand by this is because we threw him in way too early, gave him way too many games and knocked his confidence and probably his fitness as well. It doesn't help when you're that young and being forced to play too many games against in your senior games, but he's certainly fallen down a pecking order now, isn't he? He's like behind Brandon Hanlon now as well.
Yeah, it's so unfortunate for him because even as I say, I think it was again the Crawley game in the Checker Trade Trophy that he came on, but I could be wrong. But it was a game where I saw him come on this year, and he's still got that touch and that pace and that movement that could make him a really useful striker at this level. But as you say, I just wonder if it's his confidence, it might be his fitness. I'm not sure, but. But just having to play and being flogged basically last season or season before, it's basically seems to have not, I don't know what it's not, but he just doesn't seem like the player he could be. And it's unfortunate because back at youth level, you know, every week when I see the youth reports, he tends to be on the score sheet or involved in goals.
Yeah, he always bangs them in at that level. And that's why it's weird that he doesn't quite make that step up.
Yeah, I don't know what we need to get him going. You'd think a manager like Carl Robinson is surely going to breathe confidence into you. Maybe that might kick-start him. We'll have to see.
So, travelling into the final four of the Kent Senior Cup. I asked on Twitter if we're going to miss Jason Pearson. EJ Garner says, if Bauer and Tex stay fit, then probably not that much. However, a young team has just lost a massive leader. And then he goes, I'm going to ignore Roger Johnson's existence. so that's EJ Garner. Right, let's look ahead to the Peterborough game. Saturday here, a big game at the Valley of the Posh. I think just inside the playoff places, one of the teams we're looking to catch up with. Now, Tony Hutt caught up with Carl Robinson earlier today. They're starting to build a blossoming relationship, much like he shared with Big Russell Slade, Tony, and he was talking to Charlton manager Carl Robinson before, ahead of Charlton's game with Peterborough on Saturday.
Talking to Charlton manager Carl Robinson ahead of Saturday's home game against Peterborough. Carl, you had to contend with a squad decimated by injuries when it came to selecting Tuesday's side for the FA Cup replay with NK Dons. Has the situation eased and have your selections improved ahead of the Peterborough game?
No. since before I came, there's obviously injuries starting to build up, and obviously they've sort of continued slightly, and the freak ones. Jason's one, obviously we've released today how bad that is. I think 12 to 15 weeks is going to be the time span for the player to be out, which is a big disappointment to us. Lee Novak's having a scan on his knee today and see where he is. Obviously Chris Sully's is still in the recovery mode, and Ricky Holmes had a slight setback as well. So when you look at these four players, the some of our better players, if you're being honest, from the players that you would see in the summer has been quite poignant in the success of the football club. But it is what it is, and I think you're seeing how I want to deal with things. I don't think I did too much moaning, and we got on with our job. We integrated some of the young players, and it was a tremendous learning even for me. Just looking at the stats before, I don't think anybody's gone there and done what we did, and people say you lost, but we lost next time, we were the better team, and we keep performing. And if we keep being the better team and we keep staying on the front foot, we'll win more games than we lose. And once our players start coming back to fitness and then we will be looking to move forward. It's going to be a difficult. I always knew what coming in. There was no. The transparency was always there. It's going to be difficult for the first 4 weeks with the injuries that we had and everything else, and trying to change things slightly. I think, you know, you're seeing a difference in mentality in the place. I think everyone's seeing that. Not because anything was right, wrong, or indifferent before, just because it's a different person. And we'll soldier on to the next one.
Who is available to you for the Peterborough game who wasn't available to you on Tuesday? And touching on Jason Pearce, he's obviously now a long-term injury.
Yeah, he is long-term injury, and it's a difficult one for him and me as the manager. And equally for the fans who support him every week. So, but we'll have Freddie back. His hamstrings looks like he ran yesterday. Crofty's back. Josh will be back. And hopefully he's had he's fully rested. Declan Wood could be back. So there's one or two bits of positive news in there. Maybe the most positive one would have been Grant McCann when we went to extra time on Tuesday.
6th place Peterborough hit 5 against Chesterfield a week ago and have won 4 times away from home. They're going pretty well at the moment.
Yeah, they are. They'll I played against them twice here. Yeah, they lost one and won one. One at their place and got beat at Stephen K. So I know most of them very well. I think Grant's done an unbelievable job. He's gone in, he's really settled the ship down, he's really sort of took them forward. They're young, they're exciting, they're forward thinking, and they're fantastic on the break. They're almost set up for that in some ways. They sort of try and get you onto them, and all of a sudden when you think you're comfortable in possession of the football, they'll hit you and you'll find it difficult to cope with the demands of their speed. So we've looked over one or two games of theirs. We think we've found one or two elements where we know how strong they really are. And we have to make sure we can negate our way around that. But we're at the Valley, so we should be taking the game to them. But in some ways, I think that's what they want. They want you to be expansive. They want you to be getting on them, because when you look at the players that they have, they can really hit you on the break. They have one of the best young players in the country, in Lopez. I think he's as good as I've seen for a long, long time. Up until Tuesday night, we'll see some of our young players. But he's an exceptional talent, and I'm sure they'll have an awful lot of bids coming in for him in January.
Well, I'm just coming on to a transfer market. A window opens in 2.5 weeks. Who are you expecting to be involved?
Oh, yeah. Heavily, hopefully. We have one or two people that we're looking at already. One or two people who we've spoken to, clubs, and made some sort of headway. We're nowhere near doing any deal. But we're all working around the clock. Like I say, I've been in 4 or 5 games in the last few weeks. That's not even including our own. Just trying to find players who we know can fit the system that we want to play. I think it's important that we have an age element on it. And the biggest thing is that they're brave, they have energy, and a desire and a willingness to want to come and play for this club. I don't care how talented you are. If you think you're above your state, if you think you're above us, you're never going to achieve things with us. And that's been the big thing for me, is finding players who, when I phone, that they get excited when they hear what club is wanting. And I said this to a few people, a bit disappointed sometimes at this level when we ask questions of the opposite for some teams, that because it's Charlton, the price goes up. It's a bit unfair. And they're things that I'm learning and things that I've not had to deal with before. I've always bringing the price down. Now people expect they can take it up. But what I did see, like I said, on Tuesday, is an awful lot of players at football club who have certainly got a tremendous future here.
With prices soaring, do you need to be clever, imaginative and creative to fight for the good players at the right price?
Yes, I'm passionate. When I sit down with a player, if I don't believe in the project and if I don't get excited by a project, I can't make them believe in the project. And I've always said this was always going to be a real difficult month for us. We knew that. The games and everything that was going on, it was hard. But the players have really coped with the demands of illnesses, injuries. And when you look at the players that I've had to select from over the last few weeks, it's been, when I sat down and spoke to the owners, a lot of the players that I wanted to play have been nowhere near it. So, but the players who've come in have been excellent. But still, if I have a demand, if I'm putting demand on myself, is to be successful here. So I have to delve into every transfer market if I think it's going to improve us, not just a squad player, but a player that really drives us forward.
And there's one or two players that I have earmarked already, and hopefully we can push forward and I'm not adverse to bringing in somebody from the continent. I'm actually running some data at the moment on players who play abroad. Do they have the same intensity? Do they cover the same distance? Do they cover the right amount of high intensity sprints? Do they cover all the facets that I believe it takes to play in this country? So I'm looking all over, I really am, and the recruitment team are working around the clock. That's 50% of my job at the moment, 50% is obviously games, but I have to give them all 100%, so I've no time left at all in my life. But I'm really looking forward to the next 2.5 weeks, and hopefully we can get ourselves down the line with some deals and make this great football club stronger and more competitive.
Is there a priority in terms of position, defensive, midfield, up front?
I think we need wingers. I really do. I think it's a part of the game that I love. Call me old-fashioned in some ways, but there's nothing better than a winger flying down one side and dominating a fullback. It creates havoc at this level. We do need to add in midfield, but Joe Rebo and Ezri showed on Tuesday how good they can be. And I'd like somebody who can play a little bit narrower as well. So we want to go with a 4-2-3-1. I have that flexibility to do so. I always like having two left wingers, two right wingers, and two number 10s and two strikers. That's always been my thing, especially in my previous club. So it's an awful lot of work going on, and I think you can expect the demands that I'm putting on people.
So we had Carl. What's his name? Carl Robinson. I was going to call him Carl Russell there. That would be incorrect. speaking to Tony here from BBC Radio Kent before Saturday's game with the Posh. Now, our Charlton connection this week is Phil Chappell. Went on to play for Peterborough after he played for us. We asked for some memories. Phil, Paul the Cab says, versus Everton, him and Brett Angel running to contest a ball was like watching newborn giraffes running backwards in slow motion. And then Sir Darcy Sarto said that he was like Bambi on ice most of the time. So that's two lanky animal references in two tweets there. Tom, you have an interesting story about Phil Chappell.
Yeah, so he's basically the reason I support Charlton, because my granddad was the vicar for his wedding.
such a random one, isn't it?
Yeah, my granddad's an Ipswich fan. Sorted out tickets for me and my granddad to go to Charlton v Ipswich, and my granddad supported Ipswich, so I supported Charlton. But he then came and did a training session for my football team that I played for as a kid. And kind of, I think my granddad still keeps in touch with him now. So yeah, he's obviously, I remember him playing in that game against Ipswich, and remember him being captain here and just being one of those first kind of players that you know, I guess.
Yeah, well, there you go. I guess if you're keeping in touch with your granddad, I guess Phil's got to keep himself busy because none of his players were being signed. So he's got to talk to someone, isn't he?
He had to do something, didn't
he? Yeah, because obviously, like, Chief Scout, he was here for a long, long time as Chief Scout, and I'd say successful, very successful over the time he was. It's just, I think he probably felt slightly undermined in the last couple of years.
We obviously did that 1905 when we were doing that for a bit. He was on one of those, and I last saw him when we played a pre-season friendly away at Bury, which I think was part of the Nicky Pope deal.
All right.
And he was there as well. I had a good chat to him there. And
it's a Bury St Edmunds.
Bury St Edmunds, yeah. And that was back when he was actually scouting. but then it seems over the last few years, I don't think his voice was really being heard, was it?
Yeah.
Which is a shame, because it's one of those stories where it's an ex-player, you know, like the likes of Jason Yule and Powell and plenty of others, Peacock, who come back and have a role at the club, and hopefully Jacko in future. So a shame that he had to go.
Right, the Posh sitting sixth in the league in the playoff positions. Run a decentish run of form. Won their last game at London Road 5-2 against Chesterfield. Won at Northampton in their last away game in the league. Beat Bolton, which I think that game was on, might have been on TV actually. That game,
I think it was. Yeah.
So you know, so right up there. I remember we've had some good games at Peterborough over the years. A 5-1 win there, a 4-1 win there last season in the cup with that Ahmed Kashi goal. Looking forward to what I imagine is going to be. I mean, if you go 5 or 6 years ago, they were always that team that either won 5-4 or lost 4-3, weren't they? They were always that team that scored a lot of goals. I'm hoping for another, especially with now we're turning into one of those teams that's going to play expansive football. I imagine we're going to see some high scoring games coming up soon.
Yeah, well, not only that, but obviously, as you say there, our record against them seems to always be high scoring as well. I remember being at that 5-1 game. It was a great day, and Yeah, knowing that, it will probably end up being 0-0 now. But, yeah, a good side. But as Carl Robinson said, you know, this is the Valley. We've got to dictate the play, which is something we called for a lot under Russell. We've got to show that we're the home side and we can sort of take the game to them rather than letting them come at us. And that's what we need to do from the start.
Yeah, Carl kept joking that... what's his name? Their manager, Grant McCann, would be happy that the game went into added time extra time for us on Wednesday, which means we'll have that extra half an hour in our legs in a squad that is suffering with its injuries and illnesses. Do you think that'll play a part for 4 days rest?
It will slightly, of course, because they did have to play for a long time. I think also, obviously, next Wednesday night might play a part in some people because they're not going to want to get injured ahead of that.
Yeah. Look forward to that one on Sunday.
Yeah, so I think both of those might play a slight part. But look, I think the 11 that get picked, once they cross that line, they're going to be focused. And, you know, we rested a lot of players on Tuesday night. And it's something I've said in a lot of the games that we've come up against the higher teams this season. We've got nothing to fear.
Yeah.
When we play on our game, we can beat anybody. And there's no reason we can't again on Saturday.
Yeah, Baz Johnston on the Charlton Live Forum actually said he felt that the referee at MK had a bit of a shocker and that Lookman and Konza were getting kicked off the park. They weren't being protected. Did you notice that? Do you think that could play a part as we go forward this season, especially with Lookman?
Yeah, it's an interesting point. We said it a lot about Lookman before. Oh, here he comes, look.
Oh, is he? Oh, brilliant.
Here he comes. He'll be able to do his prediction.
1 minute and 5 seconds before the end of the show. Brilliant. In you come, Nath. Right, we've got exactly 1 minute left, Nath. let's have a prediction, eh?
Evening, everyone. How are you? Yes, fine. I'll rate it 1-0.
1-0.
There you go. Job done.
So that's Nathan's prediction as he turns up with 58 seconds left. Tom, how do you think we're going to do on Saturday?
I think we'll win 3-2. Yeah. I think it will be a big lot of goals. Game, yeah, 3-2. Yeah,
I'll go for a 2-2 draw between... where were you, Nath? Come on.
I was at work.
I'm not... Putting your real job ahead of an unpaid voluntary radio show. Well, Who do you think you are?
I'm off work tomorrow, Monday, so I had to get the accounts out today. So literally, I was a bit behind. And then... told you I'd make the last bit.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah.
Thanks for having me.
That fighting spirit, we love to see it. Right, that's all we have time for here on Charlton Live this evening. Thank you for Tom for coming in.
See you later.
Thanks for coming in, Tom.
Cheers, Louis.
Thanks for coming in briefly, Nathan. I hope you've enjoyed the show.
It's been fantastic.
Yeah, I've been Louis.
Every second of it.
Yeah, literally seconds. This has been Charlton Live. I hope you enjoyed the show. We'll be back on Sunday evening. Our last show before Christmas is going to be next Thursday, where unfortunately Tom's not going to be here, but me and Nathan are going to be here, and we have promised we're bringing beers into the studio for our Christmas party. It's going to be the day after Millwall, so it's either going to be celebrating or drowning our sorrows. Probably drowning our sorrows because it will be Charlton versus Millwall. But anyway, before that, we've got Peterborough at the Valley to look ahead to on Saturday. We'll be back on Sunday evening to review what happens then. Hope you have a good weekend. Hope you enjoy the game. We'll see you then.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.